The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley here in the studio. We also welcome to the program, Jan-Åge Fjørtoft joins us, as does Mario Melchiot, to reflect on what happened in the Premier League today. Two games, of course, Chelsea with a 2-0 victory over Bournemouth, but we kick things off with Manchester United defeating Nottingham Forest by 3-0. Marcus Rashford continued his fine run of scoring. Martial scoring as well. Late on, Fred, you made it 3-0. Just to confirm what that means for United. With regards to their position in the table, they remain fifth, but the points difference now between them and Spurs is down to 1 point. Remember Spurs dropping points yesterday with that draw against Brentford. Right, bish bash bosh today, wasn't it? It was quite easy.
The quickest show in the world. Those two games were a cakewalk. Right. Tune in tomorrow.
Thank you very much. ESPN FC returns to your screens tomorrow.
What do you want to say?
I suppose this is just where United are at the moment, isn't it?
And it's where Forest are. I think when we all gave our predictions the other day, it was probably one of the easiest things we had to do this year, because Forest, not only are they struggling at the bottom of the table, their away form in particular is terrible. Going to United, who, yeah, did have to play Luke Shaw at centre-back, but listen, here's the deal. If you're going to do it at home against a relegation struggler, OK. I heard that before the game, a few people, the pace Forest have got, you could cause, you know, that defence a few issues, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, nah, not really. You know, they're all quick.
Yep.
Including Varane, Wan-Bissaka, Malacia, Shaw, they're all quick, they're all fast. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the midfield, everything, that little triangle, Fernandes, Eriksen, Casemiro, just ran the show. Martial got his goal. I didn't like his performance up to that point, I have to be honest.
Okay.
Through the middle. I think he went long periods before the goal and he wasn't really involved in the play. Antony as well. And Rashford looked really sharp and happy and
yeah.
Obviously looks like that confident player again. So, yeah, it was a bit, as I say, I repeat myself, a bit of a cakewalk.
Well, let's focus on Rashford to start, shall we, Mario? Of course, had his struggles over the last couple of years. It's incredible to see what difference confidence makes.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, look, as a player, he said it himself as well. When you score goals, you start feeling way more confident. But also the thing is how he is as a player. He likes freedom. If you look at this game, you know, they changed the wingers. You understand? Antonio on the other side and then him on the other side. They could change. They could change position all the time. And I think he is always looking to be a player that has more freedom than he normally has, because he doesn't like to play a role of being isolated and having to stick to one task. But today you clearly saw somebody else. I mean, not somebody else. I mean, look, we have seen him shine like this before. But this is a player that is high in confidence, feels really good, comes back with a lot of energy, because sometimes people will talk about, like, you know, when you come out of the World Cup, people say, like, hey, maybe he's going to have a hard time. But the way he started, I think the way the team played, Craig said it, you know, they all feel really confident in going into this match and the way they played.
Yeah, and you obviously seen a lot of Rashford when you were stalking Solskjaer and then Rangnick. Why is he playing so well now compared to under those two managers?
Well, Dan, I think we can say that, yes, they have played Burnley, they have played Nottingham Forest, but there is something about Manchester United at the moment. There is something about their shape. There is something in the way they organise their play. And the reason I say that about Rashford is because every player will feel more comfortable when they know what's asked from you. There is a way now that you see that Ten Hag expects you to play in this way, and Marcus Rashford look sharp. He's taken some confidence also away from the World Cup, scored a couple of goals there. And I just came from Old Trafford now, and I can see, I spoke to Ten Hag after the game, and Ten Hag was all about that. It's the philosophy. This is what I want to play, and then it's easier for a Marcus Rashford when there is a pattern, when there is a way that they want him to play, then a lot of players get better. Not only did they score 3 goals today, Dan, but they also had a clean sheet, which is important for their confidence. And yes, I'm with Craig. Nottingham Forest, they were very bad today, but still you can see that Manchester United is building up something here, and that's good news for Manchester United fans.
United, it's no secret they're looking for a striker, Jan. In the meantime, is Martial the answer?
Well, I come from that body language school that I don't like bad body language, and Martial is there. Obviously, that goal made, it's important to score goals. That is an understatement. Yes, it was a mistake from the goalkeeper at the same time, but that was a fantastic counter-attack. And Rashford, it starts with a tackle of Casemiro, and then Rashford, of course, involves Martial playing them back to Rashford back to Martial. And I mean, you can see that Dean Henderson couldn't play because he was on that loan deal they have. Henderson didn't look good here, but a goal, never underestimate a goal in football. And like Ten Hag said after the game, the right players score the goals. And I think that is a fair assumption from a coach. They don't want to say that. But you don't want defenders to score goals. You want strikers to score goals.
Yeah.
I think there's a long way to go. I mean, I've enjoyed watching their resurgence after an abysmal start to the season. I've enjoyed some of their football. I think we have to be honest about it and say, you know, the likes of Casemiro, it is too easy for him playing against a Nottingham Forest at home, even though he was back there making that great challenge, and he had several others. It's just too easy for him. And I think, from my point of view, we just need to put the reins on a little bit. There is a lot of hurdles to jump over before they even get into the top four. I mean, we're not talking about challenging here. That's a long way off. Challenging the Arsenals and obviously Man City at the top. So it's been a great start, but it was a great start in terms of the fixture list as well. But there's much work to be done for them, but it's positive.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're fifth in the league.
Fifth in the league, 1 point off Spurs.
They're fifth in the league. I mean, we're not quite halfway through, but it's not exactly something to be sitting down and writing home about if you're Man United.
No, but some
of their football has been all right.
But who's saying that, Craig? You mean, and nobody has said that they're ready to be a title challenger, but you have to look, and yes, they played Burnley and Nottingham Forest now, but they had some great results before the break as well. And I think that what is important to see, is there a shape? Is there something going on with this team now that you can see that it could be positive for the future? Would it be enough today to beat the Arsenal and Manchester City? No, not at all. But you can see there is a shape now at Manchester United. And when was the last time we saw that?
Well, nobody, I don't think I ever said they were going to be challengers, but do spare me, Jan, if fifth is it... Tell me, is fifth something to write home about at this time of year?
No, but they had a game in hand, so they were probably done before. So we can't at the same time praise all the other teams who are up there. And Manchester United and 2 points ahead, away from Tottenham, won one game in hand, and then they should be like a lucky challenger or something. Manchester United is something going on now, Craig, and we'll see.
Well, I've never said they've not getting improving. They're not improving. But I don't know what this is going on you're talking about. I mean, we didn't praise Tottenham yesterday. I'm not praising Liverpool for being where they are. I'm not going to praise Chelsea for battering little old Bournemouth. I praise Newcastle, you know, because what they're doing is superseding where they should be, really, with that squad, and I can go through it, Longstaff, Willock, Joe Linton, Wood, Dan Burn, all these guys wouldn't get near Man United. So, yeah, it's better, but because the bar was so low, because they had an amateur in charge, and because they had a short-term, football... what is he?
Director
of sport, football, whatever it is. Now they've got a proper manager. They're playing better, I understand that. But I would just pull the reins a little bit. They're fifth in the league. There's still a lot of work to be done. And there's a lot of people getting super excited about them.
Craig, you compare them with Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson haven't been there for many, many years. They are improving at the moment, and you've got to see that.
Well, go back, roll the tape back 9 minutes. When did I mention Sir Alex Ferguson?
No, but that's what you do. That's what we do wrong.
I'll give it to you. It's better than getting walloped by Brentford at the start of the season. I'll give you that. Right, I'll give
have
you
a
that.
Have a look at the teams they have beaten this season, Craig, before the World Cup break, and don't get disturbed through Burnley and Nottingham.
I can sit here and pander to teams that have beaten Nottingham Forest and Burnley if you want. That's no problem. The proof will be in the pudding as the season rolls on. That's my point.
So then me and you can be unemployed to the end of the season. We have to just have a look at the table and say, that's what it's like.
I'm employed to tell you about the result and the performance. It was Nottingham Forest. You have to take that into context. They can't win a game away from home.
Right? Craig, I don't know your contract, if it's defined in there.
Don't worry about my contract,
Jan.
Don't worry about mine. Listen, my contract is not with Man United TV.
So Manchester United TV is to say that they got a shape on them. They beat Arsenal, they beat Tottenham. So now you just saying that the shape that they did have against a weaker team, that doesn't count?
Okay.
I believe it's 10 minutes now if you roll the tape back that I never mentioned Man United shape.
I want to move on because it's interesting. Oh my, what's that? Is that in your ear as well? Is that the end of round one?
That's the fire alarm for Jan to leave.
What's interesting, Jan, is that Casemiro put in a great performance. People get carried away. I saw one fan tweeting that this is like almost a Cantona-like signing.
I said that was a Jan Fjørtoft tweeting that. And Jan Fjørtoft said that one player, if you sign one player, that can have an instant impact on a team. I'm not saying, I mean, even Craig will understand that I don't say that they will win as many trophies that Cantona did for Manchester United. I just say that some signings are more instant than others to try to get that balance in the team. And Casemiro, yes, is one of them. Casemiro.
Yeah.
Mario, he's come in and obviously brought something different to the table that Manchester United didn't have, as you would expect with someone with this much experience and this much of an impressive resume.
Yeah, no, I when you talk about Casemiro, and I heard you guys talking about him, when he brought him in, of course, we look at his resume and hands down, he's incredible. But away from that, Ten Hag brought him in with a reason, because I'm in Amsterdam, and I happened to meet one of the guys that did the shape up for Ajax when he was working with Ten Hag. And he explained to me also the philosophy of Casemiro. Casemiro's philosophy is the way Ten Hag wants him to play, and what he was looking for, a player that can hold, you know, fill out the holes and making sure that the passing the strikers or the opponents of the strikers of the opponents is not becoming that easy. What is Casemiro good at? He closed down the lines, he wins the balls back, and he brings so much calm in the team. And I think those are the kind of key things that he brought into the side, away from, of course, all the creativity they already had with Eriksen and, Fernandes. So I think as a team, I heard the two guys, you know, like Jan and Craig talk. One thing we can say, look, Craig knows for sure, playing against a lower team, it's always difficult. You're almost 1-0 down. So that's the only thing. But what he says, I agree. We are talking about a top team that has to be up there. And it's normal that they beat Forest. I have to be honest. It's normal that they beat Forest. But the only thing I clap them for is the comfortability and the way they turned up. Because that's what Ten Hag talked about before the game. I want them to be hungry. And I want us to get up there and making it normal again for us to be rooting and fighting for the top.
Forest in trouble, yeah? They're done?
I don't think so. I think it's so tight down there. I mean, you look at the other teams. Everton, I mentioned yesterday, hapless. West Ham, I think, will climb. Leeds, I'm not sure about. Bournemouth, I think they'll just be okay. But going down below that, depends on Lopetegui at Wolves. They got a good result. Southampton, hopeless. It depends. If they have this kamikaze, chaotic January that they might have in terms of transfers,
right,
I think that could be just another disaster for them, because he's going to have so many players that he's already got almost two busloads going to every game. You know, I mean, like, who's this? And if they bring in another 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, loan, short-term, panicking, he's going to be looking at the dressing room, Cooper, and going, where the hell do I start?
Right.
So I think that would be the wrong thing to do. I don't think they're a busted flush yet, because there are so many teams down there. But they are looking, if you said to me now, are they one of the favourites to go? I would say yeah, for sure.
A lot more reaction to what happened today and indeed yesterday in the Premier League are available on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Much like the United game, Chelsea against Bournemouth are pretty much done at half-time. Kai Havertz opened the score in the 16th minute. Brilliant finish then from Mason Mount to make it 2. Job done. I imagine that's exactly what Craig will say. Let's go to Mario. Mario, at least Chelsea kind of didn't make you sweat too much in this game, which hasn't been said too much of Chelsea of late.
No, definitely not. You know, I watched the game. They look very comfortable. Like we expected him to do. I felt like, you know, when you play against a side like Bournemouth, of course they got a young coach, he took over, you understand, when Scott Parker had Fine O'Neill took over. So you expect him to, you know, hold up and sit back a little bit. He tried to play the football that he wanted them to play, but Kai Havertz, clearly he was very dangerous, very comfortable. But what was really interesting that Chelsea did, they kind of like played Mason Mount, played in the middle of the three. And normally he's one of the three up front. And for him to come in late into the box, and you could see it here clearly coming with the second goal, it was almost like, you know, the times when, you know, playing with Lampard that gave him this opportunity, he was similar at that, in arriving late in the box and scoring goals like that. For him to score that, it shows the difference that Chelsea is creating. But clearly, they've been talking about to a lot of players, and you're hearing a lot of names coming up, because the guys in the middle of the park, it's going to be a problem. If they're going to look at Conte and Jorginho, they are running their contracts at the end, so it becomes a problem now.
What did you take away from today?
That now that Jan's gone, he really should check that contract. He's not here. Like 10 minutes. All that took Jan to get off the screen was a quick check of the wording of his contract, and he's gone.
Look, he's gone.
Jan can hear all of this as well. He's back on extra time.
He's somewhere in his hotel room in Manchester going, I'll get him.
I know, exactly.
I'll get him later. Well, he brought it up, contracts. Look, there certainly was more beady eyes on Potter than Ten Hag. Right, we're talking about playing teams that are struggling at home. Kind of expected what United delivered, particularly against that opposition. I think Chelsea's an unknown, isn't it? And what we saw for most of the game, and particularly early, was encouraging, albeit Bournemouth offered pretty much nothing until the second half, and then even then it was a little bit powder puff. But the big thing for me, and unfortunately it was also a downside, was the return of Reece James.
Yeah, of course, injured after 15
minutes. And we're waiting. Chelsea, I think Potter has said it's going to be 48 hours or thereabouts to see if it's if it's a recurrence of the exact same injury and he's got a knee problem, he's obviously missed the World Cup with a knee problem. But I just think he released Raheem Sterling to go and float around a little bit more. His marauding down the right-hand side was brilliant. I agree, the midfield, I think against better teams, particularly with Zakaria in there, who hasn't had much game time, had come on for Switzerland at the World Cup on the odd occasion. But yeah, Potter, you could just see in the touchline, he just needed 3 points. This was not really so much about performance. This was about result. It was a kind of typical Chelsea in a way. It should have been 3 or 4. It was only a couple. And he breathes a sigh of relief until his ownership do whatever they're going to do in the transfer market.
Mario, how would you sum up Christian Pulisic today?
No, I felt like in the first half, like Craig said, Chelsea was the first half very dominating, and Pulisic was part of that journey. But the only thing I felt like when second half came, it looked like the energy was kind of like coming down the last 20 minutes. It was kind of different. And Pulisic going up front, you know, the first half, I felt like he was trying hard and going left and right with his movement. But one of the things that I sometimes ask myself is I want to see him take people on more. Why I want that is also because sometimes they become unpredictable. And now they're counting on Raheem's speed. If you saw the first half, how he delivered the cross for Harvard, but also they're trying to even the second half, he had a couple of opportunities, he cut back or he miscontrolled the ball, that they're counting on his speed. That's why they play him on the right. And that's why I want to see more for Pulisic, because I don't want someone to come in, and if not, he might have more competition on the left-hand side when a new player comes in, and then it becomes maybe a questionable, and you don't want that to happen.
Why didn't he play Gio Reyna? Wait, that's a different conversation.
I thought he had a good shirt for a penalty. Well,
when you see the shirt being pulled, that's a no-brainer, isn't it?
I thought it was a penalty, but then it's the same. I suppose in one sense, it's the same old adage with the player that I've talked about many, many a time. Is that? I mean, I thought it was a penalty, to be quite frank, but he loses, and I've said this to you 100 times, he loses his balance almost every time he's taken a strike, and maybe that's what the referees
They wouldn't know that, though, would they? Unless they've been watching this show and listening to you every time.
Well, they might have been listening to me prattling on.
But once VAR, it's very rare, once we see VAR and you can clearly see he's got a handful of
I thought
shots.
That was a penalty kick against the player. I
agree, there was a pen. There was a pen, yeah. Come on, he's right, Greg, you're right. It's clearly a pen. Why? He pulls him down in the box.
Yeah. But the big question is, what can he run in the team? Is he going to get...
What did you make of him today?
If any.
You agree with Mario?
Yeah. I thought he was okay at times. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it seems to be an aid. I think he had a poor World Cup. But Mason Mount's kind of still the man, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and he can go anywhere, and that's part of the problem. Everybody else sort of fits around. But, you know, Mount's the guy that either plays a bit deeper or he plays up top. And, you know, every manager, it seems, has trusted him. But, yeah, I thought Pulisic was okay and a little bit unlucky, obviously, with the penalty shout.
A lot still more then to come for Chelsea for the rest of the season. Just a reminder, ESPN FC with you every day. One more game remaining from kind of this Christmas run of Premier League matches. That's Manchester City away against Leeds. We'll be discussing that game on the next edition. Are you with us again tomorrow?
Well, it depends on my ability to check the contract.
Oh, no, Jan's got you now. Be sure to check us out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not long now, of course, until the January transfer window is open once again. This is something we discussed at length yesterday. Cody Gakpo looks like he will be making the move from the Netherlands to England to join Liverpool. This, of course, a player that very much gone most people's radar during his performance for the Dutch during the World Cup. Jan and Mario with us. Mario, I want to start with you because you've seen a lot of him. Let's get this straight first. What is his best position?
For me, as a left winger, he's very dangerous. He likes to go on the one-on-one. That's kind of what the Dutch people play anyway. We play three up front. He plays for PSV for a long time. We know the story about Gakpo.
Oh, don't touch your earphone in the middle of a thing, Mario. Gakpo. That's a schoolboy error. Jan, we discussed yesterday, does this guy go straight into the starting 11 for Liverpool? And if so, where?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't go straight into it. I think that this is a great signing for January. I think that he will have good teachers, Henderson, Milner. He will get gradually into the team. But Gakpo is one of those players. I think sometimes from World Cups or Euros, you have always these players that come to play too good. They have the time of their life at the tournament, and then you just sign them. But I don't think Gakpo is that. I've followed him in the Dutch league. I've seen him in the European Cups, and he's producing. He will play games. I don't think he will be a regular rest of the season. But Gakpo is a great signing, and it's a signal signing for them because we knew that other clubs in England were desperate to get him as well. So, yeah, this is a good signing.
Right, Mario's back, and I want just
stop touching your ear,
don't
Mario.
Touch your ear again, Mario.
Sorry, guys. You were talking to me.
God, it's like dealing with Stevie. Right, okay, Mario. What's his best position, in your opinion?
No, he's a left winger. He delivers balls. He's very quick. He takes people on. And I mean, look, guys, we clearly know why he went there, why Liverpool pressed on so much, because Diaz and Jota, before they're going to get ready, Liverpool doesn't have that time. They want to be fourth and up there in the league. And if they want to manage to get there and get back there to where they're normally supposed to be, they need a winger that can cause trouble. That's why I expect him to do that. Look, if you look at so many players they have, I mean, Gakpo had a good World Cup, 5 games, 3 goals, and then away from playing in Holland, 14 games he played, 9 goals he scored, and 12 assists. So that is already a big picture for us, especially when he played his last game before the World Cup, playing against Ajax. That's the biggest league the biggest competition in our league. The biggest game in our league. And he played incredibly well. And that was his best position coming from the left too.
So, if we look at it, can we have Gakpo, Nunez, Salah? Because we've seen Nunez kind of come in from the left as well.
Yeah, you can. But the key thing is, I think the difference between Nunez now that we're talking about him is that he gets a lot of opportunities. So he has to put them away. Away from that, I think Gakpo can provide that. But look, guys, I will be the first to always say that. I said it the same about Ten Hag. Remember, the Dutch league is different than the Premier League. So as long as he knows that the speed is going to be up there and it's going to be way more physical and he has that drive of the eagerness of every game to perform, I don't have no worries. But if he thinks it's identical to the Eredivisie, then he might have to, scratch his back a little bit and say like, hey, I need to wake up. But away from that, he's very talented. So I'm not going to say he doesn't have the ability and the qualities to really cause some trouble in England.
When I look at this player, I think it's one of the great bits of business. I really do. Right. And when you look, I keep looking at the fee. I keep looking at the fee and thinking, no, this is not
right.
This is not 2022. This is 2012.
Yes.
2010. 209, you know. A guy's 23. When I look at him as a player, and I bow to Mario, his left-hand side is his best position, but I look at this guy who, to me, could play in several positions if needed be and could adapt. He's got the physical attributes, and yeah, he'll have to step those up, and it will be a step up for him. We know he can score goals. We know he has those attributes I talked about. We know he's flexible. And 37 million. I mean, jeez. I mean, you go to the Championship and buy and get somebody who's had a one-season wonder and you're going to be paying 25, 30, 40 million plus for somebody. This is, you know, I just think to go in there, if we were bringing him in at 80 or 90 million, you'd be like, ooh, that's...
Sure.
But no, I'm sorry, this is a terrific piece of business for Liverpool. And I think it's a great move for the player himself, going into that club, the way they play with this manager. I think it's great business all around.
Jan, can you just give some insight as to why? Why is it at this price?
Well, I think that the main thing is that Liverpool is doing a fantastic job in the recruiting department, and some other clubs, won't mention them, Craig can mention Manchester United, are not doing a good job when they're recruiting players in that kind of business. Because I think that sometimes you will talk to the players, you will get the player's mind, you will get into player's mind, and they want to join Liverpool. They want to be a part of that. And I think they do that. I think they try to do the same business with Jude Bellingham, that Jude Bellingham will go to Dortmund and say, well, I want to go to Liverpool. And then we have to agree a fee with them. That may happen. But Gakpo, I think it's the same. I think they've got into his head that he will be a great part of Liverpool Football Club, that they will see that he is a part of their future plans. And like Mario was saying, there is a position waiting for him. And he's a player who can play in so many different positions. And he's been told that story. And I think Liverpool are maybe they are the best in England doing that, starting with getting the players on the side. And that is a massive thing when you go into a bidding war, when the players and his entourage saying they want to go to this and that club.
Mario?
But Jan, also what happened was also that Man United wanted to come in last, like the beginning of the season, but they waited too long. And the funny part is that Gakpo and Ten Hag are with the same agent. It couldn't be that difficult for them to have that conversation. But then for them to wait on so long, and then Leeds came on. Leeds had a private jet waiting for him to jump on. And he eventually came out and said, like, I don't want to leave yet. I want to stay with PSV. He was the captain of PSV. He stayed on. Everybody, of course, loved his decision-making. And the next thing you know, Liverpool comes. So what Jan says, they went into his head in a different way. And guys, you know, Van Dijk was there. He had that conversation clearly with him. Because if not, it wouldn't have been that easy.
Yeah, obviously, Mario, I think that is a great, great point. Because it's not enough to be in the same agency. You have to convince players. And sometimes we think that these are machines, they are superstars. But you have to get into them. And you see what the Liverpool players tried to do with Bellingham during the World Cup. And as Mario said, Van Dijk would have probably been the best agent Liverpool could ever had. To get him there. So I think that is great business again from Liverpool Football Club, and it's a signal to some other clubs to kind of sharpen up their recruitment departments.
Of course, Liverpool struggling with injuries at the moment. Luis Diaz is out, Jota out as well. When everyone's fit, does he get anywhere near this team?
Well, what do you mean, does he get near it?
Well, because does he get in the starting?
Well, I mean, it's going to be... The answer to that is, it's going to be purely form dependent.
Right.
And you know, in some sense, Arsenal are not like that because they have guys that are consistently playing well, Odegaard, Martinelli, Saka, and it was Jesus. But then you look at, apart from Erling Haaland, you look at the rest at Man City, and we're talking about teams that Liverpool want to be competing with and have been competing with. Now, on any given day, you write down that Man City front three or four, Dan, and it's a guessing game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, in some sense, that's what Klopp wants again. He wants to make sure there's no Mane anymore, that he's keeping the rest of them, when they're fit, on their toes. If you're not playing well, doesn't matter if you're Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino, we've seen him miss out on a lot of game time over the last 12 months because of his form. You've Darwin Nunes coming in now, who's lively but has having a wee problem in front of goal. And then Diaz to come back, who's been terrific. If you throw Gakpo in that with one or two young lads, you're saying to everybody, listen, you're playing well, you hold your hand up, and I'll pick you in my front three. And that's just giving them options. So the answer is, that's going to be a difficult front line to get into. But that's what his biggest rivals have in Manchester City. And that's what he needs to have if they're going to get back to challenging again.
And does Gakpo have the quality to compete with those sort of players, in your opinion, Mario?
Yeah, of course. And just what Craig said, look, we have never been, I'm sure Craig never been to a club where you had competition with you and you said, I'm not going. If your mindset there and I'm going to compete with you. So Gakpo making that decision, he knows what he's putting himself into because the talent is clearly there. You know, the only thing is that why Liverpool pressed on, because like you already mentioned, Gota, he's probably injured till what, February, Diaz till March. This is too long for a team. So for me, I feel like, yeah, he's going to compete with them. He should be ready to compete with them because being at PSV, he had a similar kind of fight going on to get himself to where he is right now and playing for Holland. Come on, no national team gives you the glory by freedom. You have to fight for it.
As I mentioned, one more game left in the Premier League of this Boxing Day series. And to be honest, we weren't going to talk about
it. You went for a big one?
We just went for it. We were asking our predictions before. Everyone's going for a big win for City. But then Jan throws a spanner in the works. Now we have to talk about the game because Jan thinks it's going to be 2-2, which means I now have to ask Jan why.
I will ask about it because if we get that Leeds team out there, this passionate Leeds team, this Jesse March team that can go for it, I don't think this game is so open as we do think. Imagine, am I allowed to say Erling Haaland again, or is that still forbidden for me?
Oh, don't worry, there's more Haaland in a moment, Jan.
Okay. So Erling Haaland is going back to the place where he's born. I'm with his dad at the game tomorrow. It's going to be a very emotional game. This is going to be a very interesting game. And that's 5-0 tip. Who had that? Who had 5-0? Who said that?
That was me.
Okay. Now, I'll
be emotional. If that's 2-2 tomorrow, Jan, I'll be emotional because you're going to gloat about that.
Yes, I know.
That's 2-2.
Yeah. So you mentioned Erling Haaland, Jan. Explain this haircut.
Oh, you think, okay, you think I'm doing his haircut as well? I don't think that is a new haircut. I think by the look of it, it's just like, I'm not saying his dad did it, but it's somebody just doing a new twist to it.
Yes.
So I can't see. He looks like a Viking, doesn't he? He looks like he's so a Viking. I love that.
Well, I don't know. I just watched the latest Matilda movie where, of course, Mr. Trunchbull hates pigtails. And I just imagine somebody whipping him around and throwing him out of the school.
I mean, really, it's a bit like when Paul Pogba used to colour his hair and others and people get...
Right.
People actually get a little angry about it.
Well, it's because you're very much a defender of people colouring their hair because, of course, you did it and pulled it off so beautifully in 1998. If we take a look at that. Oh! Look at that.
He didn't expect that one to come.
it's been wheeled out many times.
Yes, I know. Is that Vaseline in your eyebrows?
We used to do that
for everyone.
Listen, no. I may have woke up that morning and said I'm going to have blonde hair,
yes.
But I did not wake up and say, God, give me pigtails.
I don't know.
Dan, who could think that when you see that picture of Craig, that nice little young man, that he should turn into a grumpy black hair guy. That's hard to see.
I'm not quite sure anything about that picture says nice young man, to be honest. I think that's quite nice of you to look at that. Mario, whose haircut would you prefer? Would you prefer Jan's? Oh, Jan's. Erling's or Craig's?
I might go for blondie of Craig, man.
Yeah,
I might just take that risk.
That'd be quite the look.
Jealous, aren't you?
I'm jealous of what?
I can pull such things off.
Hey, you should have seen my tips in the days. Beautiful.
I had them as well.
Oh, lovely.
I tell you what, I also had, straight hair at the top, right. Long hair at the back, and the back was only permed.
No, Craig.
Permed.
Remember, Chrissy?
No.
Chrissy Waddle had it. I had a curly perm at the back and straight elsewhere.
Have we never seen a picture of that? Cheryl's got to have a picture of that somewhere. Definitely.
Yeah.
We'll find
it
most
on.
Definitely.
Right,
bring that in, man. Bring it on.
Right. Now, meanwhile, we discuss, obviously, Manuel Neuer breaking his leg while skiing. What an idiot. Paul Pogba has not only been skiing, but decided to put it on Instagram for all to see. Of course, a man who has been struggling of late with injury. This is a bit silly, isn't it, Mario, to say the least?
Yeah, you know, especially Paul, man. Come on, now I think his focus should be only and be on playing football now, because why? I know him as a person. He likes to be out there, the freedom, the enjoyment of life. But still, you have to remember the only reason why we talk about Paul is because of his quality on the field, and I want him to focus on getting back to that. You know, making sure that he does the things that Juventus wants him to do.
Jan.
Yeah, I think somehow I think. I think it was more funny when Manuel Neuer did it. But Paul Pogba, you just expect him to do a stunt like this. But can you imagine Manuel Neuer, Mr. Attitude? What do you do after you and Germany have been terrible at the World Cup? Let's go skiing. That is a great idea. Just make sure that we don't fall over. Yeah, but we do that as well. And tell people that I was only just walking with my skis and they found out he was doing downhill more or less. And then he's out, not for 1 week, not for 1 month, for rest of the season. Hallelujah, Manuel Neuer.
Not the brightest thing to do, is it? But it just smacks to me of, particularly the Pogba scenario, of just not reading the room properly. You have Juventus who are not having a particularly good season or a particularly good time on and off the field, yeah. You know, with all the boardroom wrangles and resignations and investigations. And then you've got a player who has gone back to his former club where he was successful after having an injury-ravaged spell at Manchester United. Now he's having the same problems at Juventus and, you know, for want of a better phrase, you're rubbing people's nose in it. I mean, it just smacks of not understanding the situation around you, because Juventus fans just want him fit and on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, he might be allowed to go skiing. I don't know what the current contracts say.
Yeah.
However, you should not be doing that, particularly when you've been out for as long as he's been out.
Meanwhile, big moment in the Gab and Jules podcast as Jules is in the big chair. Yeah. Once again, there he is.
That's an amazing podcast, isn't it? It switches all the time.
Don Hutchinson is with them as well on the latest episode. Be sure to check it out.
The big chair.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. So you tell me to shut up.
No, I was slouching.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say shut up, but I often would say
yeah,
shut
I know.
Up.
That's what I expected. Mario Yan, back with us for Extra Time. Craig with us here in the studio, Mario Malkior and Jan Arge Fjortoff join us as well. Mario,
surprised he's not getting any Man United flags.
Yes, Jan was very Manchester United CV in your opinion today, because he just was at Old Trafford, of course.
Well, yeah, he doesn't like to upset people. Yeah. I'll upset them for you, Jan, don't worry.
There you go.
Tell them I'm horrible.
Yeah.
So this is the man who tells other people if they say one team looks good, he is so afraid of his own masculinity to have a go at Manchester United again, and I can't even say the English word for it. So let's go.
Just because you like the buffet in the press room, my fault.
Where are you, Yanni? You in the lounge?
Craig, yes? I did a Phillips, so I have a bit overweight, so I didn't use I didn't use the facility today.
Oh, well, fair enough. Are you in the Lowry, Anne? That's the posh Manchester hotel, isn't it, where all the players stay?
Yes.
I'm a posh hotel today.
Oh, Lowry, very okay. Nice.
That's not a bad place to be, though.
No, that's all right, mate. Not too bad. Yeah, it's not the normal fire door that we see behind you.
Pouring down in Manchester.
Yeah, it looked to the rain, didn't it?
Yeah. God, no wonder it's
just looked miserable.
Struggling to get people there.
Yeah. Mario, when you're in LA, I know you're in Amsterdam at the moment. When you're in LA and it's Christmas and you're watching them play at Old Trafford or Birmingham or Wigan, those horrible places you're at, you must love it.
I love it because I live in all those places you just mentioned, and now finally I can pick my own. So Christmas is now family Christmas. Back in the day, it was hotel Christmas.
Yes, yeah, I know. You're people like Jan knocking on your door.
We don't want to upset any of our viewers from Wigan, if indeed we have any.
This is never good when you start a sentence.
No, I just want to know, did you live? You didn't live in Wigan when you played for Wigan.
I lived in Manchester.
There we go.
That's why I know the Lowry.
Yeah,
that's an answer to a question without asking the question.
Yep.
But he's answered the question.
In the Lowry. And Mario, how was your Christmas? Because you're with family in Amsterdam.
Oh man, I love it. That's why every year I'll be coming home just for Christmas.
Oh, Mario,
it's the best
fantastic.
Place to be.
What's your traditional Christmas food in Amsterdam? Is it same as us, turkey?
No, because, you know, like I eat a lot of Surinamese food, so we have similarities to turkey, but we just make it with a lot of spices and stuff like that. So, you know, my family, you know, sisters, my girl, everybody's around. We just have a big crowd and we just sit, eat, but you eat so much, I'm telling you that when I'm done here, I need to go back and start cutting some weight because you put on some serious weight being with these people.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
The good thing here working here, Mario, is that no one notices, given the company that you keep on the show.
Well, no. I mean, I can see you've really piled a few pounds on here.
Yes, definitely.
I'll tell you that now. Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. Don't worry about it, Greg.
I'll tell you what, not everybody eats Christmas dinner, you know. I was surprised.
Yeah?
What do you mean? Don't look at me like that.
What's he talking about?
Well, I mean, I know there's different religions and all that stuff, but I was surprised. My son was supposed to be working Christmas Day.
Yes.
And had to call out from the night before because he was unwell.
Right.
But felt well enough that night he didn't want to come for Christmas dinner with us because he was a bit under the weather, but he went out and got a Chinese takeaway.
Right.
And he said on Christmas night, the restaurant was rammed.
Yeah, it's a tradition, isn't it?
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I said, are you sure it's going to be open? He went, oh, it's open.
Chinese for Christmas Eve,
Christmas
Eve and Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
He said, and I was surprised at
that. Yes, yeah.
So, there you go.
There we go.
You
movie
answer.
Theatres as well.
Okay.
Sorry?
Cinemas as well.
Really?
Huge on Christmas Day, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go. There we are. Jan, what did you do in Scandinavia for Christmas?
Austria.
Well, it's Austria and Scandinavia. Thank you, Dan. For the listeners who don't know this, Dan thought that Austria was a part of Scandinavia, as USA is a part of Argentina. But now I was at home, had a beautiful Christmas with my family, and we eat kind of ribs at Christmas and some sausages and all that kind of thing. So no Chinese takeaway. Having said that, yesterday we went to another family party and I was desperate not to have Christmas to eat, and then they had pizza. That was fantastic. Best
lovely.
Ever.
Oh, nice. Pineapple on the pizza?
No,
of course,
no,
yeah.
Never.
Yes.
You know, you're such a big kid.
Yes, of course.
Mario.
Dan, you need to come to Italy, man. You cannot have pineapple Mario. On your pizza, my friend.
I would go to Marcotti's house and just order a pineapple pizza to annoy him.
Mario, don't engage with him.
It would be magnificent. He would self-combust on the spot.
I tell you what, turkey's a bit horrible, though, isn't it? It's dry.
Well, I think we only have it once a year.
Well, don't people have it at Thanksgiving?
Yes, that's true.
It's a bit dry.
Twice a year. You just got to get cranberry sauce, chuck that on gravy,
dry,
the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Right. Tour, who wins the Premier League first, Manchester United or Newcastle? Mario, what do you think?
Oh, I go for Newcastle by the biggest surprise, because those people are, oh my God, they are shocking me, Newcastle, what they're doing. I want to see, I'll go for them. Why? Because everybody will pick Man U the way they're playing. No, I go Newcastle. They just keep surprising me.
Well, we know who Jan's going to say.
There's no point going to them, is there? Go on, yeah.
No,
surprises.
What I do like about Newcastle is that they are building a club, and they're not just buying players; they're building a club. I like that, but I still think that Manchester United will win the league before them. You can't buy culture.
Yes.
No.
United?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you like the surprise, Jan? You like the surprise, though, because the surprise is pretty intense. What they're doing now.
I couldn't hear you, but I wonder if you said that. I get confused by the United here. The Leeds United, Newcastle United, Cambridge United, Manchester United.
We're only talking about the questions, Manchester United. Now, what? God. Mate, it's an awkward today, Jan. Just because you're in your posh hotel.
These Austrians are annoying.
No, sorry. I just studying Craig's contract, what he is supposed to say at the show.
Right.
Well, my contract at the bottom says you have to be nice every now and again. Actually, I tell you what, I've been, if you look back over the last 3 or 4 months, Jan, probably the most positive about Man United.
There you go.
However,
there's a limit.
A level of the opposition you have to take into account.
Right, have any of the panellists ever gone through a spell of form like Marcus Rashford, where a new manager, transfer move, revitalised their form? I'm looking at you, Jan.
If I've been bad or good?
Now, when you made a move, you were much better than you were before, or a new manager came in, it revitalized you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody do that. I mean, I had a manager in Germany. He's the worst manager I've ever seen. He had no clue at all. So it took me 8 games to get him away. But
I didn't know Solskjaer coached in Germany.
That Scandinavian presentator is very good at the moment. But
it can
make a big impact, and you can go the bad way as well. Because as we talked about in the show today, Dan, you see now when you get a defined role, it's much easier to get your skills out. So it can go both ways. So I think that. By Ragnik, I mean, you can say a lot of things about Ragnik, but it was hard to see how they tried to play. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Mario, what was the big moment for you where your form changed when it was a new manager or a transfer?
When I was at Ajax, I remember being at Ajax. I made my debut on the Van Gaal. I became the best young player at that season. And next thing you know, Morten also took over, brought in 9 players. And I went from a starting player, I went to a bench player. And then he tried to persuade me to extend my contract. I mean, you know, the rest of the answer of that one, though.
Mario, how do you handle that as a young player? Do you still have the confidence to knock on his door and say, oi, what's going on?
Yes, you have to do that. I always advise players to have a conversation with the coach, but do it one-on-one. Never do it with anybody around you, because soon as you have a conversation with a coach, with the team around you, he feels like you're trying to take the lead. But if you go on a one-on-one against him, you got a better situation to go on. But remember, when you ask a coach question, make sure you have closed questions. Don't leave him up to open question, because he will spin around your answer, and before you know, you walk out of the door without an answer.
And then what happened in the end? You made the move to Chelsea.
Yes, he ended up putting me on the bench because Ajax offered me a contract. And at that point, I said, like, you know, I want to still think. And they didn't want to give me time to think. They wanted to give me a week to think about it. Wow. Next thing you know, the week went by, and I said, like, I looked at them and I was like, okay. And then a week went by, and then they put me on the bench. But then, fortunate, I had like maybe 4 or 5 more experienced players, like the Blind, the Boers, and all them. We wanted to win the cup. So they went to the coach and said, you got to start Mario again because we want to win the cup. We ended up winning the cup, and I left to Chelsea anyway at the end of the season.
You only ever go and see a manager one-on-one. Well, most people. But going to see a manager is a bit like doing this show. I'm serious.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this analogy.
No, you always have to have an answer up your sleeve.
Right, yeah.
If you're bright enough.
But some people haven't in the past.
Some people are different breeds. But you always have to have an answer up your sleeve, because as Mario said, when you go in and corner a manager, because ultimately you're going in because you're not happy about something, he's also of the same mindset, because he's probably been a player. Yeah. He's also got some stuff up his sleeve.
Sure.
So he's throwing you curveballs back about why he's doing something, or why he's playing this player, or why you're not playing, or why you're not training well enough. And you've got to be able to spin that. As he's batting it over to you, you've got to volley it back.
Right.
Sharpish.
But, okay.
Otherwise, you're cannon fodder. You just go in and he goes, well, you're not as good as everybody else. And you go, okay, and walk out.
Yeah.
It's just weak.
Jan, you knocked on the door on previous occasions?
Yeah, I have. I think that is, Boyce has said it perfectly well. It's much easier to take one against one, but sometimes you feel they just say it to say it, and as Craig is saying, they know the business as well, because there's a lot of people knocking on the door. But you can do it the other way around, like Felix Magath, the famous, feared German coach, who goes into the dressing room, and he do that exercise in every club he's at. He did that at Bayern Munich. He went to Claudio Pizarro. The assistant coach went in and said, you should see the manager. So Claudio Pizarro, the striker, came in. He was sitting there for 5 minutes, and the coach didn't say one word. Not one word. It's not like he's not talking one or two words. He said nothing. And after 5 minutes, he said to Pizarro, now you can go out. So that is the other way around. That is always a game going on.
What does that do?
No, it's the noise people.
I don't know. Felix Magath, that's his way he's doing it. Felix Magath always do that. Before every team meeting, and it wasn't Fulham, it's the same thing. He's doing his tea thing, 2-3 minutes, then he's eating his cakes, and then before meetings and all that. That is just a game. Is the point? I don't know.
Sounds like a terrible game.
I think I would have said, I think I'd have been like, oi. I had a few civilized conversations with managers and coaches, but I also had some not so. I tell you what, I had an absolute tear up with John Barnes, I have to be honest.
But this is when he was coaching Celtic.
Yeah, and I got on well with John, and I don't have an issue with John. But I was particularly peeved about something, and it was after the Janssen era, when things had been going brilliantly for me and the team, and then Janssen left and things for the whole club took a downturn. But anyway, I think I've told you this. John thought the 3-hour bus journey from Aberdeen back to Glasgow would have calmed me down, but it didn't. I had Stubbsy and a few of the boys waiting in the car to drive back to Newton Mearns, where we lived. And I went in, and he was next to Eric Black, his coach. And it started as a civilised question to John about stuff, and it ended up, he was shouting back at me, and I was shouting at him, turning into him, and Eric was just stood there. And then the next day when I came in, John Clark, who was the kit man, who was former Celtic player, Lisbon Lion, one of the greats, lovely guy, John said to me, I heard that big man in the kit room. And the kit room is all the way at the other end of the main stand from where the office is.
Right.
It was a tear-up.
Wow.
To be fair, John just sat behind his desk and shouted back at me. I was screaming at him.
And then what happened?
He was shouting at me. I've got people, because I said to him, do you know how many goals I scored at this club?
No.
And I said, and you've got me playing in front of the back four. Yeah. And he's shouting at me, I've got other people that are better than you at scoring goals. Oh, and I was tearing back.
Did you bring up your player of the year, that thing? Yes, I was player of the year.
I didn't need to bring
that
up.
What are you doing, John?
I didn't bring it. But all I'm saying is, it happens.
And then what was it like afterwards?
Oh, I don't have a problem with John.
It was fine.
I've worked with John on. It was a couple of months before I left, but that was Kenny's doing more than Barnsley.
Right.
But I worked with John on TV quite a few times in the years before I came here.
Right.
I don't have an issue.
It's all fine.
Yeah, absolutely fine.
Barnsley, but sometimes you have to go. I think sometimes the original question, when you've got a new manager, sometimes if you have trouble with the manager, sometimes you have to put all on the line as well, as you're doing there, Craig. You're not sure how, or you know that Barnsley maybe will do that, but sometimes you just have to go for, even to get a move. You have to go for it. And sometimes these coaches who have that kind of fear factor. I had the same with Felix Magath that I talked about. I went all the way. We were not shouting, but I went all the way. And at the end of the day, he made me vice captain. I mean, it turned around. So sometimes that game you have to play, but I guess there's something you do when you turn 30. You don't do that when you're 22.
Just briefly, I remember now what triggered me. He said, and my argument was slightly flawed because the team had just battered Aberdeen at Pittodrie.
Okay.
I can't remember how many goals. I mean, obviously that Barnsley wasn't a success and things went downhill. But at that point, it was going swimmingly. But he'd put me on the bench, and I think it was 5-6-7-0 in Aberdeen, and he'd brought a few other people onto the field, and the aunt brought me up, and so I was annoyed. And he said to me, he said, why would I bring you on? All you wanted to do was go and wave at the Celtic fans. I was like,
yeah. Player of the year last year, yes. Who do you have joining Newcastle, Arsenal and Manchester City in the top four this season, Mario?
Newcastle, Arsenal, Man U. Hey, it's normal that I'm going to call Chelsea, but at this point, I'm a little worried, man. Newcastle, Arsenal, Man City. Oh, my God. God, why are you doing this to me? Arsenal, Newcastle, Man City.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to say Man United. Man United.
Man United?
Yeah. Liverpool.
He's touching his ear again. He's trying to disconnect.
Okay, I have to pick someone. Newcastle, Arsenal, Man City. Okay, he's going for Liverpool. I'm going for rivalry. Man United.
Man United. Jan, who are you going for?
As we are so many former Chelsea players in here, and I should probably say Chelsea, shouldn't I? But I would say and Tottenham as well. It's a very, very close race. I think that if we should make some favourites, it's got to be Liverpool somehow.
Mario, who's the next player from the Eredivisie who'll get big money to move to the Premier League?
Big money to come to the Premier League now. Timber. I think Timber's got a great chance. I think he played for Holland. He got the lift that normally what he plays now. He was for Juventus and now went to Bayern Munich. For him then, to making sure that the lift gets on the national TV and says like, I am not a right-sided player. Because Timber knows to play that position better than me. That says enough about the talent. And he's young, he's talented, he is very comfortable on the ball. So I feel like this kid, he's got a lot of potential. So if I go for someone, sorry guys, I gotta pick Ajax Timber.
You don't have to say sorry, Mario, that's fine. You can apologize.
No, because it's my old team, you know? It's because it's my old team, that's why.
That's all right. Here we go, for Jan. Regarding Jude Bellingham, safe to say Dortmund would sell him to the highest bidder, but which club does Bellingham himself prefer to go to?
Well, I tell you that nobody knows that at the moment, but there are some clubs like Liverpool that are talking a lot about linking him to them. Real Madrid apparently starting the official talks just over New Year's Eve. I don't think that that is the case. I think that the clubs have been talking to Dortmund for a long time. They tried to get, we talked about the Liverpool players at the World Cup being the agents for Liverpool. You just saw pictures all the time with Trent Arnold, everybody, Anderson with Bellingham. I'm not sure. I will also put in another name that is not being linked. I don't think that Manchester City is out of the race either. So Pep Guardiola would love to see Bellingham going there. They have another agent. That is another guy who played for Borussia Dortmund. So this is much more open than people think. Don't count the links going to a club and think that will be the main thing. But well, I couldn't tell you who he preferred to play to. I couldn't tell you that.
Will you be a spokesman again? You were the spokesman for Sancho and, of course, spokesman for Haaland. You need the spokesman for Bellingham next, Jan. Is that the plan?
I never played with Bellingham's father, did I? I haven't checked. I don't think, no. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Put Real Madrid, wouldn't you? Or Man City?
I don't know. You're the players, you know.
I mean, that's an ageing midfield with a few youngsters in there. I mean, you've got Casemiro's gone. Modric's not going to continue for long.
Yeah.
And Toni Kroos.
You've got Camavinga,
Tchouaméni. Valverde. If you throw in Bellingham, Camavinga and Tchouaméni are not the same type of players. Bellingham. Bellingham's certainly more attacking.
Yes.
Valverde can play in so many positions. Maybe the guy just wants to come back to England. I don't know.
Mario, where would you go, given the choice?
Yeah, given the choice, I've been in England already. I will take the turn for Real first and then make my move to England. That's what I would
do.
But don't you think it's opposite that if you saw Haaland as well, he thought if you go to Real Madrid, that's kind of the end station. In all due respect to all clubs, but there is some magical thing about Real Madrid. So if you go to Real Madrid, that is kind of the end station. So I just got a feeling that Jude Bellingham wants to go home and do well in England before he goes to Spain.
Yeah, I think he wants. My feeling is he wants to go home. But if you ask me personally, that's what I will do. And I understand what you say, but I always say some opportunities come one time, and you gotta take your journey.
Fair point.
Mario, did you ever have the chance of going to Spain?
I had the chance to go to Madrid. But I had a personal family issue, so that's why I went over. Wow. I went to go and see them, and I chose my family over Real Madrid. And then I stayed, extended my deal at Ajax for 2 more years, and then eventually I went to Chelsea.
Don't worry, I was there, Mario. I'd have probably ruined it for you.
Stuck behind the net with a crazy pose, holding onto the net.
I didn't do that during matches. Final question. How would Alvarez, this is for you, Jan, as a striker, how would Alvarez feel after coming back and playing second fiddle to Haaland?
Yeah, we used to play second fiddle. He did the same thing for Argentina, didn't he? I mean, it's an amazing story. I think that is one of the story of the season. When Alvarez came to Manchester City, I mean, that was one of the best signing of last season, or this season. But because of Haaland was there, he kind of matured into that role, did ever so well for Argentina. Can you imagine at that time how sad it's been in Norwegian. When you see the guys who are on the bench for you score four goals at the World Cup, I think Alvarez, he sounds like an intelligent player who understands mm-hmm. how we develop, and he comes into that dressing room, and Erling Haaland can do as much as he wants, but he doesn't have a World Cup medal. So I think Alvarez is fine by that. He will contribute, and he will probably end up scoring 20 goals this season as well.
Can he pull off pigtails? That's another question, I don't know. Alvarez, I don't think he could.
Has anybody seen any of those guys?
The Argentinian. I mean,
they're probably in some bar in Buenos Aires down in tequilas as we speak. Yeah, I mean, where are they?
Why are they having tequila?
No, oh, anything.
Ten Hag called Matias. He called Matias. Ten Hag called Matias.
Yeah, Matias.
He told him, you got to come Villa, back. He told him.
Unai Emery called him up and he went, I don't know, I got this strange tone from Argentina. It sounded like a phone going down. More tequila. Why wouldn't you drink tequila? I don't like tequila. I hate it. I'm just saying.
Dangerous drink. Anyway, that is it.
There's a lot of drink dangerous for you.
ESPN FC is back on your screen. To
dangerous
tomorrow.
Man.
Thank you very much to Mario, to Jan, and to Craig. Me and Craig will be back here tomorrow to reflect. Oh, you're here as well, Tori Jan. You're going to the game? Oh, doesn't matter. No one cares.
He's a Man City fan tomorrow.
City fan.
City tomorrow. United today. Who knows?